What's Always Drink the Good Stuff?
It's about food, art, travel, music, culture, lifestyle. It's interesting conversations with interesting people. And yes, sometimes it's even about drinking the good stuff.
What do chiropractors and cigars have in common? Well, one releases tension in the body, the other in the soul. Our guest today does both. Welcome, Dr. Garo Buldukyan, to Always Drink the Good Stuff. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I've known you for a while, and I see you got the memo. We got both of the blue shirts, and you also have a distinctive eyeglasses like I do. Of course, you have the hat as well. That's quite interesting. It's part of the persona, correct?
Yes. See, if I take the hat, like yesterday was a golf tournament, and I didn't have the hat because it was hot.
Right.
And a couple of people passed by me and goes, okay, we see the Garo cigars, but where's Garo? And I was standing by there because, you know, see, I have to become incognito when I take the hat off.
Exactly. People won't recognize you, especially with no cigar also. Well, welcome, as I said, to Always Drink the Good Stuff. That's our podcast. Tell us about yourself, please. I'm going to go a lot into detail about cigar and everything else we want to talk about. I'm curious, but for beginning, for those of our viewers or listeners who don't know you, tell us about yourself, please. Where are you from?
Well, I originally where from?
Yeah.
From where? Okay, I was born in Lebanon, Beirut, and I went to Melkonian High School. Then I was in Europe for a while, back to Beirut. 1978, I landed in California, mm-hmm. University of Laverne.
Okay.
And when I came here, so like anybody else, a student, have dreams and so forth. So I did my chiropractic practice. But at the same time, I was a cigar smoker, which was given to me in 1976 when I graduated high school.
Okay.
So it was Romeo Julieta's Cuban cigar, when the cigars were consistent at that time from that part of the world. 1978 in the States, I came to University of Laverne. Then I went to Cleveland Chiropractic College, which was in LA. Mm-hmm. I graduated as a chiropractor. And I had a very successful practice, still do have. And 1993, I decided unilaterally, after speaking with my wife, that I'm going to go back to medical school.
Okay.
So my wife goes, are you sure? I said, yes. So 1994, I went to medical school, and I started in, there was a program that kind of gave credit to chiropractic, some courses in English in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Wow, okay.
For January 1st to July, which I was very happy, I could walk on the River Neva when it was frozen, the experience, mm-hmm. and I saw the White Knights. So, but during that time, I had students that they came, other doctors came, and they had known about a program in Dominican Republic. But meanwhile, what happened with these guys that they know me, they used to bet with me that, you know, every time we went to another country close to St. Petersburg, that I won't find the Cuban cigars. So I always beat them because I always had my way finding where it is because it was my passion to find. Right. And 1994, the second part, so I went to Dominican, found the school, and I registered it there. While going to medical school there, so we had, instead of getting a house rental, it was easier to have an agreement with a hotel, local hotel, that, you know, they will serve you everything, but at a reasonable price. So I was staying there, and I used to smoke my cigar on the bar. So this guy approached me and tried to convince me to sell his cigars. I said, listen, I know I read about the cigars in the 80s, but nobody, I had a stack of books and nobody had them. Nobody knew because at that time in the 80s when I went to the meetings and so forth in LA, like everybody was cigarette. I was the only one with the cigar. Hmm. So I said, no, I can't do it. But, you know, but the guy was very consistent, persuasive for 2 months. After 2 months, I gave in. I said, okay, I'll do it. But you have to teach me the ropes, how the industry side. I've seen the pictures. I've read about it. But, you know, seeing right. it is totally different. So I called my friend Dr. Rowe. I said, Dr. Rowe, tomorrow microbiology notes, you're taking it. I'm not here. So the next morning, it was April 23rd, 1995. I went my first trip to Santiago, Dominican Republic. And I went to a region called Navarrete, where the factory was and where the Garo story started.
Interesting. So you are actually a medical doctor as well, not just a cigar doctor.
Yeah. I graduated, I graduated the medical school after that.
Okay.
Because I'm an individual that if I start something, I like to finish it. So I finished 1998, to part one. And one day I woke up and I said to my wife, I don't like to go to work. She kind of looked me strange because what? You're not going to work. 4 years away from the kids, this much, you know, expenses and so forth. I said, honey, listen, I'm very passionate with the chiropractic. I realized after finishing medical school. But, I mean, let me tell you why I did the medical school too. It's two reasons. One is 1976, I was accepted to medical school in Paris, Pierre Marie Curie.
Oh, okay.
But because my dad passed because of the Lebanese war, I had to go back to Beirut. Hmm. So there was something left in me, an accomplished that I had to accomplish. Whether I use it or not, that was secondary for me. And I proved to myself, yes, it can be, it could have been done. Mm-hmm. That's what I did, but the knowledge is mine. It doesn't go away.
Right.
So that I use to my patients in a different way. 1993, for 1 year with a correspondence that, you know, with the British Homeopathic School, I did my homeopathy, where at that time nobody knew. I mean, some people knew, but nobody was paying attention to their health. Nowadays, everybody, their guru about what kind of vitamin to take, because right. Dr. Google tells them what to take.
Right.
So I finished the medical school, but again, as I told you, when she said why, I said, listen, I'm passionate with the chiropractic, passionate with the cigar. I said, you're a microbiologist. Haven't you had days you told me that wish I didn't go to work because it was raining and it's cold? She goes, yes. Have I told you that ever? That why I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I do certain things? She goes, no. See, that's what it is. Because I don't just say it, I'm passionate. I live my both passion, and I'm very lucky person to have two passions right. that I can live.
So when did the, so she was in agreement afterwards?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's been 30 years.
Good. So when did the brand, Garo brand, start?
April 23rd, 1995.
So these were the cigars that were being made at a cigar factory.
It's a factory with me learning the process of blending. Okay.
And when was the first time you brought those to the States?
I brought to the States, I would say, at the end of October of 1995, so that, you know, I didn't know that there was a cigar fad even.
But had the cigar fad started by that time?
It was started. Everybody was talking, but I didn't know that there were cigar magazines.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, there were conventions. I didn't know, because for me, I don't look what there is. I look what I like to do things, and I concentrate. I don't waste my time to see it. But as I was doing it, I started meeting people and knowing that there are conventions and so forth. So I started developing those slowly by slowly. But remember, still going to medical school.
Oh, okay.
My wife from our house, she was getting me like, sometimes she would get me 10 appointments in a day. So I fly Friday afternoon from Dominican. Saturday, Sunday, I drive. I go to the retailers. Sunday night, I flew back to Dominican.
That's commitment.
That's for 2 years.
That's really a big commitment.
That's
absolutely
2 years. And she did a lot of work, my wife, too. I mean, you know, at that time, UPS wasn't computerized. Uh-huh. Everything handwritten, all the shipment.
Right.
She had to put the UPS sign on the garage door saying that there's a pickup. You know, she did all these things.
That's commendable. That's wonderful. So you caught the wave, so to speak.
I caught the wave, but the wave was already up. So I was at the bottom.
You had good timing.
Well, good timing.
Without knowing about it.
Without knowing it, good timing, but I wasn't up on the wave up there.
Okay.
Because I was starting, and then I knew because, you know, whoever it was there, they didn't know about it, and they were during the fad, went up. Whoever was kind of would be, you know, capitalized it, did. Some they didn't. They exploited and they got out of business because they were looking a quick buck. They didn't have the passion. It was a pure business. But we stayed. At the beginning, it was good because we were getting, you know, going with the wave, and big companies weren't supporting. They didn't have the cigars to give to the retailers. So we, the small people that we came in at that time, we were lucky that, you know, we start filling up the void. But unfortunately, that doesn't translate into loyalty by the retailers. Hmm. So when the big company starts supplying their supply, we got axed the first one.
I see.
And 1999, when the Fed was going down, and it started affecting us. But again, a lot of people, they left. A lot of people start, you know, shortchange or cutting the prices. But I stayed true to what I believed. So I continued. It didn't matter for me.
Okay. And however, though, that changed again, right? The wave is a cyclic, isn't it?
It is cyclic. Yeah, it comes and goes. This year, it's much better. Last year, it's getting better. But the product is getting better, too.
Okay. I was going to ask you, how do your cigars compare the ones you started in 1995 to today? How are they different?
They're different tobaccos.
Okay.
But it's the knowledge that you had over the 15 years, you implement them. Because 15 years ago, I was in a severe accident. Hmm. So I had a fractured clavicle.
Wow.
And I was in pain. And I had a problem with the factory that, you know, shipped 400 boxes to Germany, to my distributor, and they were all bad cigars.
Oh.
So they did not comply with my blend. After working with them for 14 years, they should have been able to do it. So what happened is I decided I was in pain, and my son comes, tells me, okay, can we rebrand it? It's going to cost us. I said, I'm in so much pain that it's not going to hurt me anymore. So we decided to rebrand it 15 years ago.
To what?
To Garo Cigars. It used to be Garo Habano.
Ah.
And the labels used to be like a cut of the fleur-de-lis.
I see. Okay.
Now we wanted to come up with a label that will be able to be recognized. And I always like my silhouette with the hat. And while sitting at home, I drew it and I said to my daughter, this is what I want. And they came up with a plan and they did it. So that's why we have the same label now, but different color that demonstrate different blends.
Okay. Well, on that point, what are the components of a cigar?
The cigar has three components, the filler, the binder and the wrapper.
Okay. And do you use the same tobacco for all three or different tobaccos?
No, different tobaccos. Because different tobaccos for different things. Because the wrapper is, like, you know, the higher one, the big leaves that, you know, You can put them because it's nicer. The filler are the in the middle one and lower one, depending how do you want to do it. They are short tobacco plants that they use as a filler. There's a different kind of the different region. There is a Jalapa region from Nicaragua. There is a Peru. There is Brazil. There is Philadelphia. There is Connecticut. All kinds of the tobacco. So you can be using, you know, Criollo or Cameroon, different kind of tobacco. It's all how you blend. It's like wine. It's different, you know, grapes, different blends.
Correct. And what's the other one? What was the third one you said? The filler, the wrapper, and?
The binder.
What's the binder?
The binder, when you do the filler, okay, the wrapper and the binder, they're big leaves.
Ah.
They will wrap about 4 cigars, each one of them. The binder holds the filler together.
Okay.
But the filler, it can be between 8 to 14 tobacco leaves.
Ooh, that many.
Depending on how you're blending.
Okay.
What size do you want? The ring gauge. So 4 to, like, you know, my ratio always is 1 to 32. Like, you know, one wrapper, one binder, 32 filler tobacco.
Interesting.
So that's what, when you go to the Cuban, they have nice wrappers, but their filler is always short.
Okay. Your cigars are made in Dominican Republic,
they're
correct?
Made in Dominican Republic.
Are all three components from Dominican Republic?
No. I use different. I use from Peru, Brazil, Ecuador.
The fillers?
No, any tobacco. The fillers, yes. The binders from Ecuador.
So what makes them Dominican Republican cigar then?
Because it's made in Dominican Republic.
It's put together. Not necessarily all good. The tobacco is growing there.
No.
And the reason you don't do that is because you want a certain taste profile.
Yes, I like to play around and give, because I'm proud that 10 blends that I have, each one has a distinct, unique flavor to it. So that's why when you smoke one, and that's why one of the reasons I tell to a new smoker, when you try to smoke, any guy, any person that they want to smoke cigars, doesn't matter if it's Garo or anything else, but if you want to smoke a cigar that you, for the first time you're smoking, smoke it with water. Because the water augments the tobacco taste. The water, every time you drink, cleans the palate. Now, let me put the physician hat on it, because every time you drink the water, it cleans, and every time you smoke that cigar again, it will hit different notes. That will give you a better understanding the taste of the cigar, perception, and develop your own cigar palate. Because nowadays, a lot of people, they would talk about, when I ask them, when I go to do events, I would tell them, okay, what would you like to smoke today? They give me a brand name. I said, no, I don't want brand names. What is your palate? If they don't get their palate right, I would say, okay, what kind of food you like usually eat? Then they kind of, when they're kind of confused, I said, okay, what is the best thing you drink every time? If you go out, what do you drink? So with my scientific mind, I would put them together. The blend, I think it will go well. So 95%, I'm always successful, so that they would get the blend that they matches to their palate. And that's one of the reasons I tell, have it with water, develop a palate, any cigar. So this way, you'll be exposed to different tobaccos, different blend, but yet uniquely you'll be able to identify which one goes with your palate, which one will be a substitute to your palate. So this way you don't have to be an option, because that's one of the questions they asked me in 1997, why they should buy Garo and not this one, and they're selling it. I said, no, I don't want that. I want them to know about Garo. I like to be a substitute rather than option.
Oh, I see.
Because it's a very fine line. Option, you don't know about it. Psychologically, when you get it, you'll be like, you know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, you start doubting.
Correct.
But when you're a substitute, they know of you, they will smoke it contently.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good distinction. Very good. Do other cigar manufacturers do the same thing? Get different fillers, different wrappers from all over?
Yes. Well, everybody does it. Everybody's ratio is different. Everybody in the same, and we have the same common playing field. So,
and I've heard about Connecticut wrappers, the tobacco wrapper, is supposed to be really good in America.
It is very good. It's usually used, identified for a mild, smooth cigars.
So when your cigar is burning, they're all equally burning at the same time, correct?
See,
all three are burning at the same time.
See, that's very important. Because when you do the blending, you have to have that cigar, the tobaccos, try to be complemented to each other in a way that when you light it, they have to light together. If the wrapper and the binder starts burning faster, you're going to get an arrow. Uh-huh. That means the filler is not burning fast.
Right, okay.
But if your filler burns faster than the binder and the wrapper, then you're going to have the black hole. So this is very thing to do while you're doing the blending, because we smoke the raw tobacco, the filler by itself. That's why I learned how to roll it, so that I would do it so that, I won't rely on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why after 15 years when we're rebranding it, we didn't start from zero.
Right.
We start with 15 years of experience.
Based on knowledge. Yeah.
Yes. So, every time I go, I learn something new. For me, it's the learning process in the tobacco, it's a lot. A lot of people, like nowadays, young generation, that they come, they smoke cigars one after the other. It's like they don't know that, that's not it. Because in anything, in science and everything, knowledge is always open. You cannot say, I know everything.
Yes.
I do analogy with between the cap of a water bottle and the cap of a big can of oil, which is bigger. So when it's a small circle, people, they think they know a lot and they know less a lot. There's the less that they will know. But when it's a big one, they know that they know a lot, but at the same time, they know that they don't know a lot too.
Right.
So that's where
the humility comes in.
Yep. That's what people, they don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, even when I go to the events, I see people smoking one cigar after the other. And I look at them, I said, okay, they're puffing. They're not enjoying. Because if you're smoking four different cigars, if you had one cigar first lit, then you're excited, you're talking to your friends, you light the other one. You're not doing justice for the first cigar or the second cigar, or the third, or the fourth, because you're not cleaning your palate. Because you have to clean the palate to enjoy it. So that's why I tell people, are you really enjoying smoking or puffing? And that's why I brought my slogan back from 30 years ago.
Which is?
Feel the passion, savor the moment.
Okay.
So I would tell them, people, enjoy smoking. That's what I'm trying to now convey the message, enjoy the smoking, because that's where you create memories with your friends. You remember, they tell me, how do you blend them? I said, because I know how to blend them, because the blends that I smoked in the 80s of the Cubans, because I enjoy them, every one of them. And that's why it's in my memory. Every time I think of it, my mouth will salivate and I will get that that taste of it and the aroma.
I don't smoke, but I love the smell of a good cigar.
Ah,
when my friends smoke it, I love that smell.
See, you smell it, but they don't.
Really?
Yes. And the only way...
Why is that?
The only way you will be able to smell your own cigar is you do the ritual of lining of the cigar. It's not to clipping it and putting it in your mouth and popping it, you know, gassing it and lighting it. You take the cigar, you have to warm it up. You want to aerate it a little bit. You're going to get the aroma. That's the only time you would smoke your own cigars, to see this, to smell, to feel it, you know, to feel it, to smell it. Because once you start smoking, Stepan, you're going to be smelling it. You know what I'm saying? Other people, they're going to smell. You're not going to smell it. You're going to have the taste of it, but the smell. But when you do that, you remember, all the cigars, were when they're rolled, they're put in the humidifier, big room, where it stays there. People, they will keep it, if they want to fast roll it, 35 days. People, they would leave it there 60 days.
In a humid environment. In
a humid environment.
What kind of humidity?
68 degree Fahrenheit.
Okay.
I like it to 68 to 70 Fahrenheit. And the coolness around 60, the same thing, 68. So that it would relax. Now, at the same time, those tobaccos have been fumigated.
Okay.
And when it's fumigated, to prevent any eggs to hatch, because there is bugs in it. All the leaves, all the plants, they have bugs. So when you cut properly and you do the ritual, you're doing two things. Because when the cigar is rolled, and about, let's say, 48, and let me get a ring gauge. That ring gauge, when it's sitting in humid rod, it's going to shrink a little bit. Mm. How does it shrink? It's going to have small pieces of tobacco cut up and fumigation too at the same time. So when you clip it, you're doing two things. When you're warming it up, toasting it a little bit slowly, take your time, because the more you take your time, the more the ceremony will be enjoyable. You'll be one with the cigar culture. And when you smell it, you smell it. When you're aerating it, you're doing one thing. You're getting all that bad fumigation of the fumigation that they've done out. It's aerating. It's getting out. It's not, you're going to have your not bitter taste. And when you're warming it down, those small pieces, they're going to expand. What does heat do? Expand.
Correct.
They're going to expand and it's going to attach to the cigar tobacco balls. That's why when you do that way and you have a couple of millimeters of ash before you're putting in your mouth, when you do it that way, the smoke will become cooler. You're not going to have small tobacco pieces in your on your tongue. And it's gonna you're going to feel that, you know, it's that bitterness is not there because of the fumigation. So it becomes more cooler, enjoyable. You've done the thing, the ritual. You light it the right way. You smelled it. Now you're smoking it. Any cigar you take, the proper lighting, it's very, very important.
And how do you describe the strengths, various strength levels of cigars? I'm not sure if I'm asking the right question here. I've heard it's, you refer to like a mild or strong.
Mild, medium, full body, spicy, depending on the tobacco you use.
Okay, that's what determines it.
Yes, and
again, the size and the gauge.
The size and the gauge, it's a preference, and like
but it doesn't determine the strength.
No, it doesn't. The wider they are, the cooler it's gonna be. Like the analogy, if you walk with your high heels on the snow, what happens? You go in.
Right.
That's intensity. But when you walk with the snowshoes, the big ones, you know, netted, you're going to not go, it's not going to go intense.
Right.
That's how I do the analogy. But again, to really enjoy, to understand the blend of it, of a blend, you should always smoke the smaller ring gauge, because that's where the potential gives you the real taste of the tobacco.
How did you learn the cigar business?
I used to mutilate every cigar that I smoked, the first one.
No, I don't mean the cigar itself, but the business of cigar.
Oh.
Importing it, selling it, distributing it.
By learning it as I went, I didn't have no instruction. There was no manual. I knew that, you know, I had to get to import it, to We did the research that, you know, we need to get the import license. From day one, I got my own different license. A lot of people, they don't have because they use brokers that they have licenses to do that. Mm-hmm. And I like to do my own things. And then every time we learn something new at the convention, we go there, we see things, you know, how it's done. You know, I talk to people. Some people are helpful giving me instruction. And, you know, as we were growing, there weren't too much changes. So it took us in a wave that, you know, we would be able to do it. Nowadays, there were a lot of stuff. Now, the 3 years ago, we created the boutique. 6 years ago, we created the Cigar Boutique Cigar Association as official member, but it was created earlier, 2016. Mm-hmm. But what we did is, with the FDA, they were trying to control the premium cigars. Dr. Gabby Caffey, he was very research-minded person. And during the meetings, he did the research, and we found out a lot of things that the FDA done research. We used their own research against them that premium cigar is not being controlled because anything fermentation that has to do, FDA cannot control it. Mm. Do they control the cheese?
No.
Do they control milk?
But they control wine.
Because, yeah, see, that's it. There was alcohol and tobacco, remember? Because right. That's the easy way they can think.
Right.
But with, I would say, like, you know, 2-inch thick or I would say 3-inch thick paper research work was done.
Wow.
We represented to NASM, which was a scientific arm for FDA, the last minute. And we got them away to leave the premium cigar alone at this point of time. Because during fermentation, we take the ammonium nitrate out. But with the other tobacco products, the cigarettes, they add the ammonium nitrate in to make it more acidic.
I see.
To be able to go through your lungs.
Ah.
That's why with the cigar, you cannot take it and just start coughing. Because it doesn't pass through your blood barrier to your lungs, and you know.
Okay.
So now this is a scientific thing.
Sure.
So we found some urine tests that they've done between smokers, non-smokers, and cigar smokers. The cigar smokers were like non-smokers, but they hid that. So we kind of exposed that. You know, it's all there.
Right.
But it's a matter of, you know, showing them that you did this, but you hid it.
Like alcohol, do you have to be licensed in every state that you're shipping to?
Yes. That's why, yes and no, depending on the state and depending on the retailers. See, in California, I pay the tax. In other states, like, you know, in Ohio, the retailers doesn't want to deal with the OTP. So you have to have I have a broker that sells my cigars in Philadelphia. So I get the order, give it to him to fulfill the order because he takes care of that.
I see.
I mean, every state is different, but there are some states, they don't mind. I send them the shipment. They have the invoice. And again, it depends on the state as to the OTP taxes. Is on what? On their invoice? On their invoice of the importers? I mean, those are the things that differs.
Interesting. And where are your cigars found right now in the U.S.? Everywhere in the U.S.?
I mean, we're trying. I do it from the outside. I, like, you know, go there. And we have in the States. We have overseas. But in the States, we're getting more active for the last 2 years, because I'm going out to the face of the customer saying that, try it, retailer, try it. Right. If you try it, because, you know, I was very lucky. I mean, I was fortunate, or maybe, you know, it's this year, which was my 30th anniversary at the convention. And
congratulations.
It was in New Orleans. Media people, they came, and couple of them they said the following, that if a retailer smokes your cigar, I don't see no reason why they cannot have it in their humidor. Mm-hmm. Coming from them, and these people are smokers, it meant a lot to me. But the problem is, it's a gimmick. It became like an entertainment convention. Mm. During the convention, it's more what kind of show you can put, and nobody talks about the cigar than show.
Yes. Well, I remember going to a couple of times to the Cigar Aficionado shows in Las Vegas.
That has nothing to do with
those. Are a lot of fun. Even though, as I said, I don't smoke, but no. The whole big party atmosphere.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a totally business to make money. But the convention, when you go, people, they set up their booth.
Okay.
Now the booth is not set up on the merit of the cigar. Sometimes it's a merit of how can elaborate you can booth.
Okay.
Or how many millions you can spend to make a Fabergé egg, you know, but not talk about the cigar, but talk about the Fabergé egg. Or the other one would be a traveling luggages that, you know, it's like a humidor. You know, I mean, things like that, what nobody talks about the cigars. And what happened is the social media, the media people that they come to the convention, they're biased people. They go to the people that they would get their numbers up. Mm-hmm. They're not fair to the small people. Right. I had this year people passing by moon. It says big sign, 30th anniversary. None of them as a media stop. Few of them did, but majority they didn't, because they're too busy browning their nose with the big names. Oh, I have nothing to hide, because that's what it is. Right. If they're media, they should be able to cover everybody if you're coming on the common field.
Right.
And, you know, the same field that, you know, that we're in. But you're not, you should go only to the people that they make your number goes up. Give the other people, because everybody started small.
Correct.
Everybody started somewhere.
Mm-hmm. How big is the cigar industry in the U.S.?
It's a big enough in the billions, yeah.
And is that number growing, or has plateaued, or is declining at the moment?
No, it's growing. It's growing because there are always newcomers, everybody, newcomers. The thing is, with people, they come up, they say they're boutique cigars. They can make 10,000 cigars a year and, you know, sell it from their duffel bag, or they can have fun, and then maybe 3 years later, they're not here.
So there are low barriers of entry, right?
Yes.
So people come in, it's a hobby.
Yeah, because why? Because now...
Ego, hobby,
or, you know, cigar, the cigar manufacturers, they don't care as long as they come and they put 10,000 cigar order, they get paid, that's it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you know, that's what the other thing is. When you are manufacturing and you are doing your own brand too while having other customers, those customers have this advantage over you.
Absolutely.
Because you are making profit already selling them. Now when you give a deal to the retailers that your customer cannot do.
Right.
See, absolutely. But again, it's all about how you want to do it. Again, let them do whatever they want. It's what you do, and you get... See, for me, I go every month to Dominican. Next week, I'll be there to check on my product. And that's why I keep the consistency.
And you have the same factory that's making this for you from the beginning.
Same factory, and I do contract with a couple of friends that they have small factories. I will help them because it's a family-owned. I like to help them. But they do exactly how we blend it. Okay. So this way, for me, the consistency, that's very important.
And that's the key, right?
That's
because
the key.
Someone who smokes your cigar a year from now is going to have the same taste.
Yes. Not. It can be 95%. Because
are there vintage variations?
Yes. Yes, that's what
like
it is.
Wine?
Like wine. But what it is if you want to make it the same, close to what you have, you have to kind of see the tobacco, the strength of the tobaccos now, how you can rearrange them. The same with the wine. I mean, if you're those grapes, sometimes one grape will be more sweeter than the other.
Right.
So you would less than that at the other one more. So this way you can balance it out to make it close to it. So that, you know, that's why people, they when they drink, they would always, if they, it's not 100%, but it will always reminiscent, remember the taste that they had. Of course, if they drank that wine very slowly and enjoyably, not right. gulping like a Coca-Cola.
Right. How many different cigars do you make?
I make about 10 different cigars. And I have my core cigars, and I have only the anniversary this year. Last year, we came with the Year of a Dragon. And this
having year, to do with the Chinese New Year.
Yes.
Okay.
And we did this year the Snake, Garo the Snake 2025 with the Chinese New Year.
And when you say different, again, you're talking about the blending.
The blending.
And the rings as well, I suppose, right?
It depends. See, like, you know, my 30th anniversary that we did this one, I want to give a homage to the cigar culture.
Okay.
People, they forgot that, you know, when people, they used to smoke, the Churchill was 7x47. It wasn't 7x50.
I see.
They forgot that the Robusto was 4¾ by 52, not 54x5.
So people take liberties with the sizes?
No, yeah, they take liberty. And I brought the Corona, 5½x42. I did the homage to the cigar culture. Even I did the box, like a Cuban cigar boxes.
Okay. Who decided that the Churchill is supposed to be a particular size, the Robusto is a particular size?
It's a roller, the way they tradition? It's a tradition. Tradition, I would say.
And all this started in Cuba?
Well, everywhere was there. But Cuba was it because, you know, the way it started is, the bankers, the British bankers and other bankers, when they made their own cigars to give it out to the to their customers.
I see.
That's where the labeling started. Before, that's why when tobacco they used to smoke, everybody had a white gloves.
Ah.
See? There's a reason. So that's how it started, the thing that, you know, the sizing. You can make as big as the size, but, you know, are you going to enjoy it? It was a fat 70, 74. I mean, you know, how big you can put in your mouth.
Right.
So for me, it's the enjoyment of the cigar, not the look or, you know, how much smoke is going to come out. It's, again, I come back to the basic. Feel the passion, savor the moment. Are you really enjoying smoking the cigars? That's the key. Once you enjoy that smoking a cigar, it elevates your level of aficionado that, you know, you want to grow, know about it. I am not a drinker, but I love to taste single malt, different taste, different way, and make it decide that I would drink this if I go out or at the house. But what I do is, at least it gives me knowledge. That's what smoking they should be able to do. So when I go out, if I have 10 different choices of drink, and I've already tasted those, it gives me a chance to decide which one I want, rather than have an option, think what I'm going to drink today. So with the cigar
smoker, you already prepared your mind. You know, what goes well with what.
Exactly. That's what with the cigar smoker. Try to do it. Smoke it. Don't tell me, oh, I smoke 5 cigars a day about my cigars. Yeah, you can have sex 5 times a day. But guess what? You're not going to have 5 kids or become a gynecologist.
Right.
So that's the thing I will tell them. It's like, you know, don't rush into it. You know, take your time, smoke it, because the more you smoke slowly and you enjoy smoking it, believe me, you're going to cherish that moment. You're going to remember much better rather than having, you know, puffing smoke.
On that point, what are some good pairings with cigars as far as drinks are concerned? Is it whiskey? Is it rum? Is it wine? What are good pairings?
It depends if you know the cigar.
So you start with the cigar first?
No, it depends if you know the taste of the cigar you're smoking.
Okay.
Because nothing matters after that. Because alcohol numbs your tongue.
Okay.
And you won't do justice to the either cognac or single malt or wine with the cigar. Now, there's a complement to each other. If you want to have a very strong drink, you want to have a milder, creamier cigar that, you know, would complement it so it doesn't overpower it. So these are the things. But once you know the cigar that you smoked, you know the taste of it. That's why I say enjoy smoking cigars, because that opens up a door. Like, you know, when you're having a drink with that cigar, it gives you a different palate, and it puts different palate in your mouth. But if you don't know, it's like, you know, it's a gibberish going on. It's going to, you know, oh, that's a social acceptability that, you know, I'm smoking a cigar with a cognac. No. Right. I prefer every time I smoke my cigar in public too, they see that my glass is white. They think it's vodka or tequila, but no, it's water. Because I love to enjoy every bit of it. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going to have a cognac, I would have it by itself. Yes, sometimes I do have both, but again, because I know the blend, whether it's my blend or somebody else's blend that I smoke.
How do Cuban cigars differ from Dominican or Nicaraguan or other cigars?
There, it's the geographical and the humidity only, and the years of being in the public eyes, because in the 60s, 50s, 60s, it was the playground for the from the East Coast people to go down there.
Right.
And it was always reverberated. And Dominicans, they weren't. They were doing cigar tobacco, but it wasn't as much as people going there. But a lot of people, they used to go to Cuba. They had the casinos. They had the freedom before Castro. So what happened is people, they got accustomed to it. And then it became big as when something is forbidden,
right?
People, they seek for it.
Right.
But until 80s, it was great. Every box you open, you smoked it. Now it's great when they do the festivals. They're great cigars. They have great cigars. But at the same time, they don't have enough tobacco. So you figure out. Now, I can't figure out. I know, but, you know, it's, you know, the island the way. But the humidity really makes a big difference that they have. I asked a couple of growers, Cubans, and, you know, they came up like, you know, the soil humidity is about 4 to 8% more in Cuba. That's what it is. And the way they grow it, it's a narrow island. And when the breeze comes in the Huertabao region, there is the sodium that comes with the from the sea, ocean, with the fog, goes on the soil, so that makes more richer. So again, the blending, and the Cuba has one tobacco, so they blend with it and they come up with it.
Have you been to Cuba?
No.
I went there years ago, and of course I was with a tour group, so, and they took us, of course, to the Cohiba factory.
Yeah.
And I ended up buying two boxes from there at the time. Even though I don't smoke, when I came back, I gave this gifts. It was an interesting how they put the whole package together of a group going there. Yes. They show you around. Of course, they only show you the best parts of the country or the cities. It was an interesting experience to go there. The beautiful beaches also.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience to go. Who's your ideal cigar smoker?
Like, what do you mean, ideal
cigar? I mean, who do you want for them to smoke your cigar? Doesn't matter, anybody?
Anybody that really enjoys.
Is there a particular profile that...
There is, but for me, it's like asking you, who do you want your wine to... who do you want your wine to drink? Somebody who wants to learn about wine or the cigar, they should ask questions.
Right.
That, you know, okay, let me try, let's say, 5-6 different mild cigars, and then choose which one is mine, which one I like, which one hits my palate. I like the younger, people that they start to start smoking. People that they are average smoker, give it a try.
Right.
Because don't be a label whore. Don't be a label whore. Try it because don't assume that it's bad.
Right. Is there such a thing as an entry cigars and you move up afterwards?
Usually, yes. The Connecticut that I said earlier, you were mentioning it, it's the milder version. Okay. And I'm proud to say that we have one of the best mild cigars that 30 years ago when was my original blending learning thing still exists till now. Even though we rebranded it with Undergaro cigars, we brought it back after a while.
And what percent of cigar smokers are women?
There used to be a lot.
Really?
In the 90s, and they used to have their own clubs. There are women cigar smokers. But I've seen, but always they have to think about their hairs, their dresses, stinks. And that's one of the things I will always say. The cigar fad went down because women stopped smoking.
I mean, it does stink your clothes.
No, I know. But see, when you're smoking and your wife, if your wife used to smoke with you at the cigar lounge, now she does not to do it because of the smell.
Right.
Now she's letting you smoke. But what does it tell you? Okay, when you come home, stay in the garage, take off everything, take a shower before you come in.
And how big of a role have cigar lounges played in the advancement of the cigar sales, cigar lifestyle?
Cigar lounges, they're helping because, it's like, again, there's the pros and cons in a sense that cigar lounges, they're good where people, they get camaraderie and talking, smoking. But cigar lounges, they help certain amount of brands instead of introducing boutique cigars.
Gotcha.
Boutique cigars because, I don't know if you remember in the past, they were the tinder boxes.
Vaguely.
Yes. So even in Glendale Galleria, where my office was across from the Glendale Galleria, guess my 2 hours of lunch, where did I spend?
The tinder box.
Because we never smoked there.
Really?
Yeah, you never smoked there. But the guys, they were tobacconists. They knew about the tobacco.
Interesting. Okay.
So I used to spend time with them in the enjoyable, those people that they had knowledge about tobacco.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's about who's giving you the best, not deal or the deal, or who you want to, brown your nose or whatever, rub shoulders with to get the blends because it sells a lot.
I see.
I mean, individuality, I rarely see in a cigar lounge. See that, this is my cigar lounge. I'm not going to let them dictate what I'm going to get. I'm going to choose. I'm going to talk to my clients. I'm going to tell them to see that, this is why I should go to Stepan Lounge, not to Paul's Lounge.
Gotcha.
Because you have to have an individuality. See, nowadays, retail stores, they're like tasting room.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can give me a cigar, tell me, Gaur, this is a cigar, I'll pay for you. And while I'm smoking it, if I like it, I will take my phone and I start punching and see where I can find it cheaper.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a reality.
It is. In every business.
Well, in tobacco we're talking. But what it is, with me, which I don't sell online, I tell the retailers, we are not online. If I'm online on my site, it's more expensive than your store.
Well, that's how it should be.
And that's why I deter them. And people, when they come, they want to buy from me. I would sell them at the
retail
price from my internet website. Mm-hmm. Because I tell them, money I'll make once from you. But if you buy it from the retailers who might give you a discount.
You're protecting your retailer.
Of course. Plus, they will give them a discount. That retailer now, if he sells a box, right, he's going to order 3 boxes.
Correct. Oh, that's wise.
Yeah, that's what I tell them.
Seeing the long picture.
Yeah, because people, they don't see that. They want to do a fast one. Oh, God, oh, please.
Right.
I said, no. If they continue talking, the price goes up by $50.
Yeah, well, that's good, actually. you're not the first Armenian who's making cigars. There was a guy named Avo Uvezian. Did you ever meet him?
Well, 8-9 times, but he always forgets. He forgot.
But he passed away, unfortunately.
I know.
And subsequently, his Avo brand was sold, I believe, to Davidoff.
1999.
Right. What's the end play here for Garo Cigars right now? What's your idea? You want to keep it in the family? Do you want to sell it? What's the whole idea behind? What's the play here?
Keep in the family. I like to enjoy my life until my last breath with the thing. And maybe have people continue the legacy. See, après moi le déluge, like the French says, you know.
After me the deluge.
Yeah, that's what it is. So.
Okay. Just keep it in the family, grow the legacy.
I enjoy what I'm doing.
That's very important.
If somebody wants to get it, I would like to be involved in it all the time. Mm-hmm. Because I really enjoy. I mean, the way I talk to you right now. Same thing I did with the chiropractic. It's right. Like, you know, it's, I love it. It's not that it's a job. It's a passion. Well,
I can see, as I said, it's obvious. You're enjoying it and you can see the enthusiasm. But anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you
for
having me.
I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. That's the whole purpose of this podcast, for me to learn things from people I admire, I respect. I appreciate you coming in, giving us your time today. And remember, always drink the good stuff. Cheers, everybody.